Morning. We have some mic runners ready. All right. It's good. Before we go on the Bible study, I was thinking I'd make a few comments. I think the Bible study is geared towards believers, people who are serving Jesus. And I'm assuming that all of you are serving Jesus here. But hey, if you're not born again yet or not sure about Jesus, I'd like to make it clear that what we're discussing isn't about getting saved. It's about serving Jesus. So I'm just going to read a verse to make that clear in our minds. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, I think I'll read a bit more than verse 8, actually, but pay special attention to verse 8. Even when we were dead in sins, I'm starting in verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, yeah, just wanted to make that clear in our minds again that, you know, it's by grace that we're saved. And today as we discuss about serving Jesus, we're just serving Jesus, and when we're done serving Jesus, we're still unprofitable servants, right? So, maybe we should talk about that a little bit. Does someone want to comment on unprofitable servants? Does that mean useless? Someone want to comment on that? Sorry, I didn't put that verse in the text message, so... I was just thinking about unprofitable servants. Someone commenting. Go ahead.
Well, I haven't had time to look at it closely, but wouldn't it just simply mean that we've... I mean, does he add there that we've just done what is our duty? So it's not like we've made a lot of profit. We've just broke even in the sense of doing our responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's... I like to think of it this way. He'd get along without us. If you take a work crew, let's say, and you value your workers, but they are replaceable. They could decide not to work for you, and your crew wouldn't just fold and quit because of the one person. He's required to do his duty for you to be pleased with him, I guess. But he's just doing his duty. You're giving him a job. He's doing his duty. And it's good. It's very good. But he's also, if he decides to quit, there's probably someone else that could take his place, right? And God is that way. Like, he gets along all right without our help. But He's desiring our service. He's desiring our commitment and service to him. So I was thinking we'd start with Colossians 3, verse 23, and maybe some of you looked at that verse and have some comments. I'll just take some time and read it now. Maybe I will read a few more verses again. That's kind of the verse I wanted, but it might sound better with a few more. included. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. I don't know if we have to make many comments on that or not, but we'll try just to make it a discussion. Does anybody have a comment on it? If you think about who you're serving, is it a good light to do a half-hearted service to, you know, does it do justice to Jesus if we're half-heartedly doing what we do? Or which way is the most fair to Jesus if we're doing something? Wholehearted, right? Do it with your might. There's another, someone can look it up if you know exactly where it is in the Old Testament. It might be in Proverbs, where it says, do it with thy might or something. It's very similar to this verse. If not, we can just think about it. But to do it heartily as to the Lord, it's pretty easy to do something heartily when your heart is in it, right? Comes a little more natural to give it your best if you're into this, and so you do your best. And, you know, it could come across as if you should always be just giving it your, like, no matter what you're doing, right? But there's different ways to apply this. If you are swinging a sledgehammer, you know, you can swing it with all your might. But if you're trimming windows, where's Ivan? No, he's not here. There's some trim carpenters here, but nobody wants you to swing that hammer with all your might when you're trimming windows, right? Because it'll actually ruin the thing. Doesn't mean you're not doing it with all your might, but you're applying yourself to the best of your abilities, right? So in some cases, it does mean to give it your full strength, and in other cases, it means to just give it your best detail, or your, you know, that can be in relating to people too, like how you know being gentle. You can be gentle and careful and just put everything into it, but it's not just running roughshod over everyone type of thing, right? So there's different ways to put your heart, wholehearted effort into what you're doing. Is there a comment somewhere?
I was, last night when I read that, my mind went to Matthew 25, is it? Where Jesus was talking about two different groups of people. They had both, one of them knew they had done all the good works, at least they thought they knew, and the other ones just lived that way. And I, reading this, it just made me think that, you know, what it says, it's doing something heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. When Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, he said, all your works ye do for to be seen of men. So you can be working hard and do everything. I can do that, and I can do it for all the wrong reasons. And I think it's so important that the focus is not whether or not I'm doing it as much as, do I just live it naturally? Is it an outflow of what God has done for me?
That's right.
The focus is on serving God, not on whether.
That's right.
It can become selfish, is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. It's important to be doing it as unto the Lord. It can be motivational, too. I think about things that, I don't know, like, what do you guys think? Do you think that a half-hearted effort could actually be damaging or useless? What do you think? Like, you don't really... Like, I'm not talking about you don't really want to do this, but you agree to do it and you do your best. I'm talking about you agree to do it, but you don't do your best. You just kind of do. Is that helpful or damaging? What do you think? I don't want to get it confused with, because sometimes you have to go the extra mile, right?
I just think of the verse where, I think it's in the Revelation, where it says, I wish you were either hot or cold.
Mm-hmm. Leon over here.
Well, this is in the context of servants, and often at work over the years, there are certain guys that are motivators just by their enthusiasm, and they want to get things done, you know, and there's other guys that are a bit quieter, but you know they're putting their heart into their work too. And I think each working man inspires his fellow workers to excellence and putting his heart into his work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that could be applied to our Christian life as well.
That's right. Yeah. Alvin?
I think of a couple of scriptures, but one is that Jesus made it clear that if you have been given and you don't use what you've been given, you lose what you've been given. And I think another scripture where the Father sent his sons to the field, and I've often been encouraging the Lord in it. One said, yes, he'll go, but he didn't go. One said, I'm not going, but he went. Who did the will of the Father?
That's right. Mike?
A gauge to know if we're working heartily might be if we consider how we'd work if it was, you know, our project. You know, I think this is often in the context of working for someone else, and it can be easy in a time like that to do it half-heartedly, but just pretend it's your own. I think that's good.
Yeah, very good. Anyone else? And I was going to, it is written in the context of servants, and I think as servants, I mean, whether you're a business owner, you're still a servant of your customers, right? And it applies there too, because you're still working for someone. And this applies to in other areas, you know, in the church, not just for the workforce per se, but, you know, in things like we did last weekend. I know the youth are going to be sharing later, but I'll quickly share my part because I don't get to share this morning. So I made snowmobile shelters out of trash, and it was fun. We had fun, and we put our heart in. We whacked together those trash piles into and erected some snowmobile shelters, you know, and just put our heart into it. Why, we could have stood back and was like, made a fuss and like, how stupid, you know, this looks ugly. But no, we were like, let's get some ugly shelters built, you know, and made two of them. And you know what? They're going to keep the snow off of snowmobile this winter. They're going to do their job, right? And nobody said they were supposed to look nice. Whatever, you know. So that's an example. We did a skit. People put their heart into that, you know. I don't care. Whatever you do, you know, you do it with your heart. You do it with your might. Because it's just, well, it's better for you and it's better for everyone else. So.
I was thinking about the passage where Jesus talked about the servant, and there was people that were serving all day. Some served half a day, some served only for the last hour. And maybe a bit of a indication of whether we're serving God or serving men is whether we're looking at everybody else to see how their payment plan works out, or whether we are just satisfied that we've got what God is giving us.
That's right, yeah. Thank you. I think I wanted to stress one thing yet. The thing of if when you you don't really agree, let's say, with the decision or whatever, could be in church or at work or wherever it is, it's a lot harder to put your heart into that. But if that's been the decision now, if you absolutely can't put your heart into it, there might be a need where you just don't do it, right? I would feel, if you're going to join in, okay, so I play hockey. I put my whole heart into that too. Some people would not necessarily feel free to play hockey. It's just a waste of time and energy, right? And it is. It is, but it's fun, you know, and I value that. But if you'd be like, well, you know, hockey, whatever, you know, if you're going to play, it's not like you have to be skilled or anything, but everybody's going to do their best, whatever it is, right? And if you don't feel like you can do that, it's probably better to just say that, you know, I don't have peace with playing hockey, and I won't play hockey, right? Does that make sense? I mean, I used hockey as like one of the most, I don't know, it doesn't matter whether you do it or not, right? There's maybe some things where it matters that you do, and you need to work on putting your heart into it when your heart's not in it. But I'm talking about like, if your conscience is somewhat pricked or something about something, and you feel like you really can't go along with that, but you do, and it's just kind of half-hearted, it's kind of a damaging thing to yourself and to others, right? Better to just say, you know what, I can't put my heart into this, and so I won't. Maybe I'm a little too black and white here, but that's kind of my advice, is to join in, and then join in with your whole heart, or withdraw from it, rather. I'll invite you to comment on that. It could be controversial to talk like that. Is everybody in agreement, or Mike?
Well, I can't think of anything in the world that it's okay to do with just half your energy and half your ambition. If it's not worth all of it, it's probably not worth even.
That's right. Yeah. Good word. All right. Any more comments before we go to the next verse? Okay. The next verse I heard was Acts 20, verse 35. And that kind of got me off guard. I thought that you'd find that verse in the Gospels. I was looking through the Gospels, and my search app wasn't working, and all it finally pulled up Acts 20, verse 35, and it could be in the Gospels according to this verse, but I couldn't find it in the Gospels. Now, if you can, I'd like if you would point that out. Acts 20, verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Did anybody else think that that would be in the Gospels? Just that Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I didn't think it was an act. I thought it was in the Gospels myself. So it caught me kind of off guard. But it does say that Jesus himself said that. So what, I mean, it's fairly straightforward what it's saying, but it kind of goes opposite of how you might feel, right? Don't you like being given things to you? Kind of makes you feel good. Somebody thought about you and gave you something. But it's more blessed to actually give. And if you have been giving, you kind of know too that it's true. It is actually more blessed to give than receive. But one of the big blessings of giving is the fact that you have something to give, right? How did you get something to give? It's like you have something to give, and that's a blessing already that you have that to give. And now to be able to give that means that you have more than you need. And I'm not saying you shouldn't give beyond what you feel that you need. I think you can even give more. It's a challenge. Something that I should work on is being able to give more. If we're talking about giving, what are we talking about? Let's just throw some examples up. I'm going to say money because you all think about money, right? So that one, that's already taken care of. We can give money. What else can we give? Encouragement. Yep. Very good. We all need that at times, and it's amazing a bunch of people working together and encouraging each other keeps the motivation there, keeps us putting our heart into the work, right? Whatever it is. Anything else we can give?
Sometimes it's good to give a listening ear. You don't have to say much.
Exactly.
Just having people know that you care and are praying for them means more than anything you could say.
Yeah. Absolutely. Time, that would kind of come into that, but meals. You can give meals, right?
Smile.
Smile, yeah. It can be worth a lot, the atmosphere. For a while at our work crew, I was the foreman. I'm not the foreman anymore, but back in the day when I was the foreman, I kind of really appreciated guys who were able, like I was kind of preoccupied, right? I didn't really have time to tell jokes, and I mean, probably I could have if I would have been better at what I was doing, but it was a bit hard for me to create a cheerful atmosphere. So I really appreciated guys on the crew that were able to tell a joke or make a joke out of nothing or just kind of bring that lightness to the workplace, right? It doesn't slow down the work, and it can actually speed it up because everybody just feels better about themselves, right? So that's worth a lot. Smile or, yeah. Anything else? You'd give somebody a goat, right? If they need a goat. I've seen Matt and Tom giving away goats many a time. Okay. So, I was having a discussion with a friend of mine, just talking about the situation in Iraq and kind of expressed that, yeah, I'd be somewhat interested in going over there and serving. And we talked about different movies that we've watched about persecution and so on and so forth. And how about, you know, going over there in those dire straits, let's say, I don't know what you'd face over there, but let's say you would... you'd have to be thinking about something more than the present to be into this, right? Like, you're not getting a lot in return to put your life at risk in the moment, right? Not getting rich, you're not in having all fun, really. Unless you really enjoy the risk part, it might be fun for you, I don't know. But in the end, though, we concluded, like, so, like, you'd have to be thinking about eternity. and value that, but is that enough? I wasn't sure if it would be enough for me, because I can think about eternity over here too, or whatever, without totally putting my life to risk. But what motivates someone to risk their lives for the gospel and so on is they're thinking about others, right? Their life is kind of it's in Christ, and when if they die, they die, whatever. They value others. They're out there for the others, right? They're not really in Iraq for themselves. They're not risking their lives for eternity, even for themselves. Because like when we make a decision to follow Jesus, that's our eternal destination there. And we can, yeah, if the Lord leads us and we don't obey, I'm sure there's consequences, don't get me wrong. But the motivator is that these people need help. And you're there, you're giving your life for the sake of others, right? Does that make sense? Is there any comments besides Jonathan?
Well, I wouldn't disagree with you. I guess that can certainly be a good motivation to go, but I would add to that, I think there's a higher motivation, and that's the King, the glory of God, and He is worthy. Because sometimes, and I have never been a missionary overseas, but I've certainly heard of cases where a missionary will go with only for those motivations. I want to be a help to these people, and he finds out they don't want help, and that becomes discouraging to him. Mm-hmm. And he has to reprioritize his motivation, which really, if we go for the glory of God, then whether they want or receive help or whether they don't, it doesn't change, because we're not there. We're there for a higher purpose. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Yes, that made a lot of sense. Thank you for that clarification. Did you have your hand up, Abe? No. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, let's move to Romans 12, verse 21. The verse says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." And the chapter ends there. Maybe we should read ahead before that a little bit. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.' Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." And I guess we're closing the Bible study here very shortly. I'm going to read one more verse. See if I can find it. That we'll read in conclusion. I kind of thought we could read it to begin with, because that's kind of how you get going. And it goes very much along with what Jonathan was saying. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I think what he had mentioned in the previous verses of the things that shall be added unto you was kind of our physical needs and so on and so forth. So in our service to the Lord, seek first the kingdom and go from there, rather than seeking yourself and going from there and trying to serve the Lord. Thank you.